It's been heavy on me recently. We'll see if the Lord provides for it to begin a radio message and start putting that out. And I don't know how the Lord will use that and how it'll play out, but that's been heavy on me. And I fear anyone that speaks on the behalf of the Lord ought to fear. And I do. And it ain't something fun to fear that it's not my doing in anything. It's not my will or me wanting to do something. It's not my position and my desire to do things, that it's His. That's what I pray for. I never had a desire to do that. I thought, I'll never be on the radio. I'm not a TV evangelist. I'll never be on the radio. And I'll give you a little tongue twister like my pastor used to give us growing up, kind of get you awake a little bit and get you engaged. I read this thing. It said for parents, as soon as they say, my children will never, it says they start nevering like they've never nevered before. As soon as I say, I'll never, better look out. When the Lord uses one of His own, it's going to be in a way that's contrary to our natural desires and abilities. It's going to go clean against the grain. Well, I'm set up good for this and I'm comfortable with that, and that just must be how the Lord's going to use me. Nope. I've been down this road quite a ways. It ain't going to happen that way. Those that are timid, they're too timid to speak of our Lord. Those that are so timid and meek to say, come church with me, is impossible for them to do. The Lord just may use that one to preach. Those that have a strong desire to tell everybody everything they know and what the Lord's done for them, they may be made to serve by sitting and listening, by showing up church, praying for the pastor, singing with the brethren, and comforting them. Those that have a great ability to write, it just comes so natural. That wasn't me. I squeaked through English class, and I said, I'll never write another paper in my life. I write about 30 pages a week or more. Those that have a great ability to write, they may be called to listen, to be an ear for brethren to cry to and lean on. Those that are real good listeners, boy, they can just take the troubles, they can bear the burdens. They may be used to write. Someone asked Brother Spurgeon one time, come up to him and said, you know, the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and I'm supposed to preach here Wednesday night on your midweek service. Brother Spurgeon said, that's weird. He didn't tell me. So many times, someone's so eager to preach their first time, they've never done it, and they're so eager to tell what they know, that's a good sign they aren't meant to do it. Moses did that, didn't he? Boy, I'll lead your people. Killed somebody. That wouldn't do. God sent him out to the wilderness for a long time. Let him get good and old. And he said, Moses, I'm going to use you. He said, I've developed a stutter. I can't talk. Don't use me. He said, nah, you're right for the picking now. Now I'm going to use you. Paul hated Gentiles with a passion. And he said, look at the grace of the Lord to me. I get to preach to the Gentiles. Peter at Redneck, he's a hillbilly. God sent him to go talk to the hoity-toities. Isn't that right? Ain't nothing happening in our change in our day. I can list you 10 things that's happened right now around this country. Those that say, I'll never move there, I won't leave here, I'll never live in this place that way, I'll never do that, I'll never stop doing this. Be careful. If the Lord uses you, not man, man's convenient. Well, they got an opening in the Bahamas, in a big old fancy house, I bet. But look out. If the Lord uses you, you may start nevering. I'll never do that. If the Lord uses you, you're going to get ready to. And He's going to use you. I thought of old Bill Withers' song. He's going to use you until you're used up. It's a tool that's got to be sharpened over and over again. And that's whether they're singing, praying, sitting, faithfully attending the worship, whatever it is, speaking, writing. Whatever the Lord chooses to do, you're going to get used. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to go against the grain. Here in our text tonight in John 4, we've got a story within a story. We've been looking at that woman at the well. We've looked down through verse 30, verse 1 through 30. Looked at that twice. And then we skipped. We went down to verses 39 through 42. It's all the results of that. But our Lord teaches His disciples something while this woman ran into town. He spoke to her in power, revealed Himself in her, and she went to go tell people. This one that was hiding out at noon so nobody would see her, she ran right in the middle of town. She went against the grain. Everything that was normal in her instincts, she did the opposite. She went to go tell them. But while she's gone, the Lord teaches His disciples something. Teaches those apostles something. Look here in verse 31. And that's the paragraph begins in verse 31 and it ends in verse 38. That'll be our text. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. He'd send them to go get meat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The Lord's teaching them something. He does it very efficiently. It might take me a long time to pass on some understanding and knowledge to somebody if I was teaching them a skill. Our Lord's very efficient. He teaches them something, equips them, and then He gives them command to execute His will. They needed to be taught. They needed to be equipped. They were not equipped to serve Him as He saw fit in that time. He equips them, He teaches them, and then He uses them. They're the means that the Lord was pleased to use in this town, in Samaria. What was the cause of this instruction? Why did they need to be taught? What was the Lord going to teach them on? Look up in verse 27. It says, and upon this He had spoke to that woman. They heard Him say, I am. And she took off running. She dropped the water pot. Go tell everybody. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? They're starting to learn something. They're learning to keep their mouth shut. That's what they're learning. And I told you last time we saw that. I said, they're going to learn some more. And I hope the Lord chose us too. Here's what they're going to learn more. They were saying, you see this woman? That's a Samaritan. That's a half-breed. That's half Jew, half Gentile. It's a Gentile dog. We're enemies with them. There's roads that go around this town, so we don't have to be in contact with them. There's laws. That's what I grew up with. There's laws of man. The Jews can't have no dealings with them. They can't have no dealings with us. They were competitors. They built a temple there in Samaria. Copycats. Don't want to do with them. Leave them alone. Mark them. Avoid them. And then this woman, there's some outward characteristics I'm certain of that they're like, yeah, it's noon. He ought not be talking with her. Why is he talking with her? That's a sinner right there. First thing that's taught is turn from this world. Turn from this world. Turn from what you know, from what you think, all your understanding, all the stuff that's been built up over time, and you're so well equipped to do something, leave it alone. Let it go. That's what He's going to teach us. Look here in verse 31. John 4:31. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. He sent them to get meat, didn't He? And they're asking Him, Lord, eat. Our Lord's a man. He's a God-man. He was tempted just as we are, in all points like us, yet without sin. He got hungry, just like you get hungry. He was sitting on this well because He was tired. Just like I get tired. He was thirsty. He said, give me a drink. He needed to drink water. Worldly water. Just like us. And he responds to him in verse 32. And he says, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." He just spoke to this woman at the well about drinking, about water. He just sent them to go get meat. And he didn't have either one of them. It's never recorded that he drank that water. It's not recorded he ate that meat that they brought back. And they pleaded with him. "Master, eat. We got the meat here. Eat this." They were starving. So they thought. I'm starving. I ain't starving. I think I am. They were hungry. And they assumed that the Lord was just as hungry as they were. "He ain't ate since the last time we ate. He's got to be hungry. I'm famished. You eat first. Lord, eat. Master, eat." They were generally concerned about his physical well-being. You know that? They cared for his physical well-being. And all the while, that's good. Isn't that good? Put a couple extra O's in there. All the while, he was concerned about their spiritual well-being. They were concerned about their bodies. And he said, "You're too concerned about your bodies." He's about to equip them to be used. And he's about to teach them some things and put them to work. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here in Matthew 6, this is about the same time as this woman at the well. John didn't record it. But this is close to the same time. Matthew 6:25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on." Don't worry about what you're going to wear. "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Look down verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles," he's saying the heathens, he's speaking in a way they can understand. "After these the heathens seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what he can say that in a sentence to them. He can say that in a word to them, put that in their heart. What was Christ come to do? What was His meat? What was His drink? What was our Lord's drink? He came to seek and to save His lost sheep. He came to be their substitute. He came to glorify and honor His Father and His holy law and to reconcile that stiff-necked, gainsaying people, sinners, to the Father. Make reconciliation for His people. He came to seek His kingdom. This really hit me this morning. How would my day go if every time my stomach gurgled, I had a little hunger pain, if I sought the Lord's kingdom first? Every time I got a little bit hungry, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the refrigerator and see what's in there. Let me seek the Lord's kingdom first. I bet my feet, I bet my pants probably fit a little bit better. If every time that I got thirsty, my lips got dry and I needed a drink of water, I sought His kingdom. Every time that my tennis shoes were starting to wear out, and I thought, boy, I need to get me another pair of tennis shoes. Before I did anything, if I sought the Lord's kingdom, if I sought His glory first, how would the rest of my day go? Would I get fed? Would I get watered? And would I be clothed? You bet. You bet I would be. And if I didn't physically get fed, watered, and clothed, I'd be reminded that Christ fed me with His body. He watered me because He's the living waters. And He clothed me in His righteousness. And I'll be reminded of that one more time. My toe's poking out of my shoe. I don't care now. My lips are chapped. Get some chapstick. It's okay. You get water tomorrow. You make 3 days. You'll be fine. He says there in verse 34, Matthew 6:34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Turn over to Isaiah 55. Here's also what the Lord's speaking to those men. And this may be what they had remembered. He brought to stir up in their minds. Here's our Lord speaking in Isaiah 55, but Christ our Lord is Him speaking too. Here's Him speaking through His prophet. Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What waters? A well? Waters of this world? No, Christ the living waters. Come to Him. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without honey and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? That's what we can read there in Ecclesiastes 1. Everything's vain. I can go have the best steak in this town, and it can be delicious. And by tomorrow morning, I'm going to eat some eggs and bacon. I'm going to be hungry. It's vanity. Why do I set my affections and my time and my labor and all my worry and all my money and everything I can put my back into to the things of this world? He says, hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good. There's none good but God. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let your soul delight on those fat things and wine on the lees, well refined. Let your soul delight in this. Let this be happiness. This world's vanity. Now we still need to work. We still need to eat. We still need to sleep. We still need to drink water. But our soul, our mind, the whole of me, are to seek things above. Seek His kingdom. Christ's glory. The furtherance of the gospel. Loving my brethren. Bearing the burden. Giving them comfort. That's why we eat physical food. So we drink physical water. So we have a physical job. So we can tend to our brethren, tend to the gospel, tend to the furtherance of that, tend to honoring our Lord. That's why we do those things. Back in our text there. John 4, look at verse 33. This is what our Lord's saying to them. His meat's something they don't know of. And they didn't get it. People think they're so bright. They're just so understanding and well-learned, well-read. And these are the apostles, and they didn't get it. That ought to be humbling to us, isn't it? Look here in verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're still looking carnally. They're still looking earthly. They're still looking physically. Did you bring him something? Did somebody bring him some beef jerky? Did he have something in his pocket? What? Maybe one of the fellas over there, did you all get him anything? He has something to eat we don't know about. I don't see a knapsack. They're looking to this earth. They're looking carnally. And our Lord's so tender. He's so gracious. He's so long-suffering to His people. He didn't bop them and say, how long have you been with me? Don't you get it yet? Y'all know this. Y'all know what if words come out of my mouth, y'all know what I'm speaking about. Y'all know the context. You may not understand it, but y'all have the gist of it. He belittle them? No. Look what he says here. Jesus saith unto them, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He didn't scold them. He didn't rebuke them. They should have knew this, but our Lord was tender to them. Oh, that I'd have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you to give all of me to His service, to enter the ministry. I hope someday I can enter the ministry. That was a saying. I got it. Like they ought to have got it. I got it. I understood it some. Well, I understand it now. I hope someday I can serve the Lord. I hope someday I can give myself to His gospel, to be meek. I hope someday I can be patient. Long suffering, to have wisdom, His wisdom, not man's wisdom, His wisdom, to be concerned of heavenly things always. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? We know He wasn't speaking about carnal things. He wasn't telling them, send them to go get meat for Himself. He told us in Psalm 50, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Cattle on a thousand hills are mine. He sent them to get meat for them. He knew they were needy. They tried giving Him food. Lord, eat. And later on, He's going to say, take, eat. This is my body that's broken for you. They just worried about Him. Lord, eat or you're going to die. He said, you eat my body or you're going to die. They were worried about His physical. He was worried about their spiritual well-being. He asked those fishermen one day, he said, you got any meat? And they said, no, nothing. Come short. He already had something ready for him, didn't he? He was asked of meat of those after his work was finished, after he'd come out of the tomb but before his ascension. And they gave him some meat. But that wasn't because he needed it. He was in his glorified body. He didn't need to eat that. He was giving them proof of life. I'm a man and I'm alive. You get after a surgery or something like that, somebody says, eat something, drink something. Try to get you to eat something. It means you're alive. Everything's working right. And he says, give me meat. Here, what's this? I'll eat it for your sakes. For your sake. He sent the ravens to Elijah to give him food. He fed Elijah. I think of that often. It was not the other way around. That sound like a bold statement to you? It's pretty bold nowadays. If I walk down the street, I might get my head chopped off saying something like that. That's a false gospel of a God that wants man to do something. That God that needs something from man. Lord doesn't need you. He doesn't want anything from you. He comes to His people and He gives Himself to them. That's salvation. Not the other way around. Well, I went to God. He's just so sad and sitting over that corner moping. And I gave myself to Him. Hogwash. That's a lie. And you'll go to hell believing a damnable heresy like that. He comes to His people in kindness and tender mercy, abundant in grace, and reveals Himself to them. When He reveals Himself, when He gives Himself in power to His child, gives him new life, they give all of themselves to Him. That'll happen. Well, there was a need for the Lord to teach some things. And He begins to teach and He equips His disciples by giving them an example. A good leader always does that. They never ask someone to do something they wouldn't do themselves. For me to forsake myself in any way does not match what He forsook for me. He did without so we could be full. He didn't eat so we could eat. He didn't drink so we could drink. He died so we could live. He reminds the disciples, we're to be about our Father's business. He's been about His Father's business from the womb. Like we ought to be. But He reminds them. Our meat's from heaven. How often we need reminded. How often I need reminded. I need to be about my Father's business. He says in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. To finish His work. That was His meat. His substance. That's what filled Him up. Doing the will of the Father and finishing the work that He sent Him to do. That sustained Him. That filled Him up. Meat fills. Fills. Vegetables are wonderful. Human body requires fats, proteins, and carbohydrates to function. In a certain ratio. But meat's what satisfies. It stays with you. Now they see Christ. They're reminded of His person. His work. Reminded that He shall save His people from their sins. That's His name. And for you and I. That's pretty good for them. For you and I, it is finished. He came to finish the Father's work. It's finished. What better news is there than that? He did it. He completed that work. Now they got their pure minds stirred up, as Peter says. Now they're put back on task. They got turned from this world and turned to our Lord. Turned from serving man to serving the God-man. Now they're equipped to be used. And He's going to give them something to do. He's going to give them something to serve Him. Now watch this. Verse 35. Say ye not that there are yet 4 months and then harvest come? We just walked through all these fields. You saw them planted. That corn ain't going to pop up. I'll be knee-high by the 4th of July where I grew up. You got 4 months till the harvest comes in, right? There's plowed fields. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look up. Look up. Look over there. You see them fields? They're white. Are ready to harvest. Peak ripeness. What does that mean? Now we remember this is the story of the woman at the well. This isn't a sub-story that happens to be inserted. This is all the story of the woman at the well. She went to go tell her friends. Now, coming running over that hill, right as our Lord said this, here's a town full of men. Had a woman married five times and went and talked to him and said, "You've got to come see this man. This is the Christ. Come to him. He ain't never been here before. He's there right now, and he may be leaving. Get up, let's go." And they believed her. That's what we looked at last week. When they heard her. They believed her. Well, she ain't never acted like this before. She's got some sense about her. She's motivated. She ain't hiding. Something's going on. Maybe we ought to go see what she's talking about. And here they come running. She's like, "No, come on, let's go. He may leave." And they come running. And right as they pick that hill, a whole mess of them. I don't know how many it was, a bunch. She knew a lot of men. Might have knew every one of them. They come running over that hill. And the Lord said, "Right there comes the harvest. You think a harvest is coming in 4 months? Right there, they're ripe for the picking. I'm going to put you to work. I just stirred up your pure minds. It'll be about our Father's business. I come here to seek and to save the lost. Here they come. Get ready." Our Lord sent out those 70. And he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." That's his harvest. Here they come running. He's done a work in them already in his providence and his grace before time began. Here they come. Remember the reason for this teaching. Remember the reason he taught his people. They murmured about the enemy. They murmured about the Samaritan that the Lord was talking to. The town and all these people walked around. The sinners, ladies of the night. And I said, he's talking to her? It would have been convenient to go preach to Galileans, wouldn't it? And the Lord said, "I'm about to use you. Here's the very thing you despise. You're going to preach to them. You're going to comfort them. You're going to mourn with them. You're going to laugh with them. You're going to eat with them." You think of the people say, "I want to be used of God." Think of the absolute worst thing you can think of that you despise more than anything in this world. And the Lord said, "That's what I'm going to use you. Go tell them what Christ did for you." You quit hating all men, don't you? The Lord works in you to do that. The very city they despise, now they're going to preach to them, comfort them, love on them, rejoice with them, because they got new brothers and sisters. Here they come over the hill. Now, verse 36. "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." The Lord is plowing those fields with his earthen vessel. He plows the heart. He breaks up the ground. He says, "Well, you know, I kind of understand. No, if the Lord does something to you, buddy, there's a plow going through the ground. Rocks are flying, dirt's flying." And he plants through his vessels. He uses the preaching of the gospel to plant seeds. And he waters through the preaching of his word. And he gives the increase through the preaching of his word as he sees fit in the measure that it pleases him to do so. The sun comes down on those tender plants and they grow as he sees fit. I like that old analogy. Two angels the Lord sent to earth. He sent two angels to this earth and one to rule it, to rule everything, be on TV every day, and the other one to pump septic tanks. It would make no difference to them which one did what. They'd be thankful that they got to serve their Lord, and they both have the same amount of motivation and happiness and rejoicing, and they're just giving it all they got. "What'd you do today?" "I was on TV." "What'd you do?" "I dug up a septic tank." Wonderful. Lord gave that for us to do. Think how kind he is. They rejoice together, those that harvest. If John Reeves come down here and preach for you all, and you'd listen to the gospel for decades, and the Lord used that man for you to hear the gospel for the first time, and you said, "Kevin, I want to be baptized. The Lord's done a work in me. I died when he died. I was buried with him. I rose with him. He commanded me to do so, and I'm going to obey him because I love him, and I'm going to go in the waters of baptism." And you said, "But John was used to do it. To Lord, use that vessel, that mouthpiece, to speak to me. I want him to baptize me." Do you think I said, "Now hold on now. I'm the pastor." "Great. Let me get him on the phone." "Good.
I was going to check. I saw on the phone John today. I was going to check with him. He said, John, somebody ever asked me to baptize, would you be offended? I know the answer. He wouldn't care. He'd come down here and I'd hug him. And we'd rejoice. You all be happy. You get to see him. If I went up there, it'd be the same thing. Don't make a difference. He says in verse 37, and herein is that saying true. Our Lord's going to quote a phrase in common usage from that day. Because he's preaching to his people. And he's speaking to them in words they can understand. Herein is that saying true. This common saying that you say. One soweth and another reapeth. Boy, he took something bad and turned it good in their hearts. I'm going to tell you what this means. It was a blessing to me. This was a common phrase at the time. One sows and the other one reaps. That was a throwing darts at somebody that was just lazy. Somebody that didn't work for a living. They didn't go out and sweat and toil, and they didn't get their bread from the busting up the ground, from the sweat of their brow, like Adam's supposed to. But they had some kind of way of eating, and they'd go by and say, well, one sows, one other one reaps. And that's a derogatory statement, isn't it? I can tell you stories all evening. People I'm related to, and I'd say, well, they don't sow nothing. And boy, they sure reap. I'm out here sweating and working hard and keeping up all these people, turning the news on. You'll get mad. Providing for all that. You know what our Lord says? Now, this saying that you always used, you meant for evil, now it's true and you're going to agree with it. You're going to reap where you never did sow. And you will be thankful. This parable of the talents we looked at recently, that man said, you reap where you don't sow. You know what that was referring to? He's telling Christ, the Lord, that he's nothing more than a man. Who say ye that Christ that I am? Now, some say prophet. That's what that woman at the well said, wasn't it? You're just a prophet. You're reaping where you don't sow. And he said, I'll judge you out of the side of your mouth. Words come out of your mouth, so I'll judge you. You want to say I'm a man? Watch this. Took everything from him, didn't he? He said, verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their reward. You're entering into their wages. It don't say that, does it? What's it say? You're entered into their labors. Ain't no different. Somebody come here and Lord used them to plow this ground years ago. Somebody came here and they seeded a long time. Brother Don come here and seeded. John Chapman's come and seeded. Angus has come and seeded. Others come and watered. Sometimes they watered and seeded. I show up. Brother Paul Mahan's done a lot of seed and water in this place. And I reap. They men did the groundwork. And I join in with their labors. And there ain't no jealousy. There ain't no envy. Tickle me to death. I'm thankful to. You're going to harvest. Reap what someone else did on the groundwork. But then you're going to go cast seed. You're going to harvest that. You're going to plant some more. You're going to harvest that, you're going to water, you're going to plant some more. It's going to keep happening. And there's no difference in the kingdom of heaven. If the Lord used one of my friends, one of my fellow laborers, to preach to a loved one, a family member, and save them, I think I'd be upset about that. I'm just Kevin. I'm just a husband, I'm just a dad, I'm just a brother. Lord, what if they used them? That'd tickle me to death. I don't care who they come from. I don't care who the Lord uses. What's important is that seed went into him. That's his. That's happened to Paul, and he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Some say, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos. But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Neither he that watereth. Ain't nothing either. But God that giveth the increase. Turn over to Acts 8 and I'll let you go. Acts chapter 8. These apostles, they hugged them brethren. They preached to them. That was the talent that the Lord gave them to do. And they did it. And they served those of Samaria. and they planted and they harvested and watered and whatever the Lord had for them to do, whatever stage that crop was, that's exactly what they did. They didn't know what they was doing, but the Lord did through them. He used them mightily. And it says here in Acts 8, verse 4, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip came down to the city of Samaria." Here comes Philip into that town that nobody wanted to go through. "And preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies and that were lame, they were healed. And there was a great joy in that city." Philip went in, and he harvested all that those apostles had planted, all that those other ones had worked on. And that city rejoiced. They were thankful because Christ was preached to them. What does the sowing? Preaching Christ. What does the plowing? Preaching Christ. What waters? Preaching Christ. What harvests? Preaching Christ. That's what he did. Philip just showed up in the town. All the work's done. People used to call me Blister. I showed up after the work was done. He showed up, all the work's done. He just preached Christ to them. And boy, what a reaping. Boy, what rejoicing there was. And he just stayed there and glowed in it. Lord used him. He said, "You've harvested. Now you get to planting." What happened down in verse 26? He spoke to him and he said, "You get out." He said, "There's one of mine out there on the road. There's an Ethiopian eunuch. Go, Philip." And Philip went out, heard this man reading. He said, "What you read? Do you understand what's coming out of your mouth?" He said, "How can I? Except the man teach me." And he said, "Move over, I'll tell you." And he preached Christ to him. So he harvested preaching Christ and he went, he planted seed in that Ethiopian preaching Christ. And that all happened in one day for him. He said, "What just keep me from being baptized?" He said, "Right there's water." And Philip said, "Let's go. Come on." I pray the Lord would teach us. He would correct us. He would enable us to do the work He has pleased to put in our hand to do. Whatever that is. No matter the position. And that we would plant some, that we was able to water some, we was able to harvest some. And what a pleasure it would be. What rejoicing they'd be if we get to watch it happen. Lord, let me watch that happen. Wouldn't that be something? I pray a bit. Bless that.